Hey, y'all, just real quick before we play this episode, but if you're considering applying for the 2025 cohort of Being With, which is my year-long immersive training program for professionals who support and work with parents, I want you to head over to robingoble.com/beingwith right now and get your name on the waiting list. And we're going to do applications and registration a little differently this year because of the already overwhelming interest in the 2025 cohort. So we're going to open applications up first only to folks on the waiting list. That means in order to be one of our early applicants, we need you to sign up on that waiting list before June 25th. robingoble.com/beingwith, and I'll get that link down in the show notes as well. Alrighty, here's the episode.
So when your kid's behavior is baffling, and yours is too sometimes, yeah, I know. Let's take a break from all the bamboozle here on the Baffling Behavior Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Baffling Behavior Show, or the podcast formerly known as Parenting After Trauma. I'm your host, Robin Goble. Today, we're going to talk about the truth that everybody has a watchdog or possum pathway. The reality is we only spend a lot of time talking about watchdogs and possums when folks have like overactive ones. Otherwise, it's not usually something we spend a lot of time talking about. And that can sometimes lead us to believe that only folks who struggle with dysregulation or have sensitized stress response systems or vulnerable nervous systems or whatever, that only those folks have watchdog and possum brains and pathways. But actually, the truth is everyone does. And that's good. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Really glad you've joined me again today for the Baffling Behavior Show. If you're new here, the Baffling Behavior Show is, gosh, going on 3.5 years old. We passed 1 million downloads over a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. I can't remember now. And this is a podcast where we take the science of being relationally, socially, and behaviorally human. And I translate that for parents and caregivers and professionals who work with kids who have vulnerable nervous systems, sensitized stress response systems, and then big baffling behaviors. So many of the folks who listen have kids with histories of complex trauma, and that is my primary area of expertise. However, over the last, 3 to 4 years, I guess really since the podcast has been on the air and I've had more and more folks following my work. And then of course my book came out last year, Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors. And I know that so many more of you now listening have kids that don't have, you know, histories of complex trauma. They still have this intense vulnerability in their nervous system. They still have these big baffling behaviors. And that's so many more of your families have found the Baffling Behavior Show. And I'm so, so super glad that you're here. So remember, my area of expertise is predominantly kids with histories of complex and relational and attachment developmental trauma. But there are so many reasons that kids have these vulnerable nervous systems and big baffling behaviors. I have a podcast actually all about that, about, you know, what does it mean to have a vulnerable nervous system? That's episode 122. So you can scroll back to episode 122. It looks like I actually also replayed that very episode back in February. So if you look for the dates and you scroll back to February 16th, 2024, you'll find it there. Otherwise, it might be easier to just scroll back to episode 122. What does it mean to have a vulnerable nervous system? And a lot of folks will come to me and say, my kid doesn't have a history of trauma. Why do they have a vulnerable nervous system? And so that episode is in an attempt to kind of explore that question. We are having a tiny bit of construction happening on our house today. And I don't think it's going to come through on the podcast, but just in case you do happen to hear something weird, it's probably that. When we moved in to our house 5 years ago, we'd hoped to install a window in this big blank wall that is in the a room of our house that we actually spend probably most of our time in. And it is time to finally install that window. I'm so excited, y'all. It is going to change like the experience of being in that room so much to have so much natural light coming in. So finally, I think we literally bought the window a year and a half ago or more. And finally, it's getting put in today. We're so excited for it to go in at the beginning of spring so we can experience all of the good morning sunlight here as we as our days get longer here in Michigan. Do y'all know this? That like probably, you know, June 20th, the longest day of the year. I mean, I'll have sunrise at like 5 or 5:30 and sunset at like 9:30 or 10. It's so fantastic. So construction noise is a window finally being put in that we're very, very, very excited about. All right. Everyone has a watchdog and a possum pathway. Now, this idea might be review for a lot of you, especially if you've been listening for a long time, or if you've read Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, or if you're in the club, because we actually talked about this kind of recently in the club, which is what inspired the idea for this episode. But I also know that for families of kids who have a lot of dysregulation in your kids' nervous systems, or maybe in your own, that because we spend so much time talking about the intensity of dysregulation on the watchdog or possum pathway, we can kind of start to lose sight of the truth that we all have watchdog and possum pathways. It starts to feel like watchdogs and possums only exist in this very vulnerable, very sensitized, very dysregulated kind of way. And then it can start to feel like, well, what we want to do is get rid of the watchdog brain or the possum brain. And actually, that's not true. And I'm going to explain more about why this matters. Like, why does it matter that we remember everyone has a watchdog and a possum pathway? I'm going to explain more about that towards the end of the episode. So if you're really wondering about that, make sure you listen all the way to the end. Every human has a watchdog or a possum pathway. Remember, obviously owls, watchdogs, possums are metaphors based on real physiology. And so, you know, the watchdog pathway or the watchdog brain it's the metaphor for the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, right? Like the part of our nervous system that powers us, that gives us energy and activation. That's the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. We all have one of those, all of us, right? Thank goodness, because actually, if we wanted to get really nitty-gritty and real sciencey, the sympathetic nervous system is engaging with like every heartbeat and every breath that we take. We don't really think of it that way, especially here on the Baffling Behavior Show, but that is the physiological reality. We all have a sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, and it's constantly working. And the possum pathway is a metaphor for the dorsal vagal complex, which is a branch of the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. Okay. And we all have a parasympathetic nervous system, the resting part of our nervous system, the breaks, the decrease in energy. We all have a parasympathetic branch, and we all have the dorsal vagal complex. We all have these parts of our nervous system, of our autonomic nervous system. They are constantly working, right? And they do a lot more than just power the kind of energy and activation that we think about. Like when we think about owls, possums, and watchdogs, right? You know, we're thinking about the very challenging behaviors that our kids have. Well, the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system and the parasympathetic branch, they're doing a lot more than, you know, being underneath these challenging behaviors. And we all have these pathways and we don't want to get rid of them. And we can't get rid of them. We don't want to get rid of them. And we want to make sure that that important nuance of not wanting to get rid of them actually kind of comes through the metaphor as well. Okay. Watchdog brains, possum brains. Having a watchdog brain or a possum brain isn't what's causing stress for your child, and it's not what's causing stress in your family. I know it seems like it is, but really it's not. What is causing stress is an overactive watchdog or possum brain or pathway, that very sensitized stress response system. So we have watchdog and possum pathways that are working really, really, really hard. And on the outside looking in, like if we just attempted to look objectively at stressors, it would look like they're overreactions. Now, if you've read my book, if you've listened to some earlier episodes on the podcast, you know that all behavior makes sense. And I don't really believe in overreactions. If we look at how we're all kind of co-creating our own reality in every moment, we are having an autonomic nervous system response that matches our moment by moment experience in reality. If we look at the very complicated way we're all kind of constructing or creating our own reality, I touch on that a bit in the episode Connection or Protection, which I think is episode 7. I reference that one a lot, episode 7, and explore that a lot throughout the book, Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, but especially in chapter 2, the chapter on the science of safety. Okay. So we all have watchdog and possum pathways, and the watchdog and the possum respond to stress. When your child is having a watchdog brain response or a possum brain response, they are responding to some kind of stressor. It is never true that, quote unquote, nothing happened. Never true. Always something happened that was a stressor. Oftentimes, or almost all the times, we have to really like expand on what do we mean when we use the word stress or stressor? Because oftentimes the way we're talking about stress doesn't actually match kind of the scientific definition of stress. You can go back to the episode on a sensitized stress response system. The episode's really just on the stress response system. And that's episode 94 to really help kind of understand how the stress response system's not only is it not bad, but it's actually super important. We want to have a strong, resilient, robust stress response system because humans are constantly responding to stressors. And the more resilient our stress response system is, the more likely it is that we're going to have a stress response that seems to kind of match the stressor. When I'm working with families, they don't come to me because their kids are having stress responses that match the stressors of everyday life. Like those families certainly don't have perfect kids. I mean, we all have difficult behavior when we're stressed beyond our capacity. I do, my partner does, my own kid does. Like we all have that. Hey, y'all, I'm interrupting the show super briefly. I want to make sure you've heard about the Families Rising Conference. Families Rising is formerly NACAC. So maybe you've been to the NACAC conference. You don't know that they're now Families Rising. So Families Rising is the formerly NACAC conference. It is one of my absolute most favorite conferences because of the super amazing people who attend. Everyone has this like shared mission for helping our most vulnerable kids and improving child welfare practices, listening to the voices of those with the lived experience. And I'm so honored to be keynoting this year's conference. And this conference is offered virtually every other year, which increases accessibility and people's ability to attend, especially affordably. And it is this year that it's virtual. So you can attend this conference from anywhere. Head to robingoble.com/familiesrising to get all the details and send me a message if you're planning to attend. All right, back to the episode. Those aren't the families who come to me. The families who come to me have kids who are having stress responses that like far exceed what we would think would be typical given the stressor. And their stress response is more intense. It's more frequent. It lasts longer, right? That's having an overactive or a sensitized stress response system. There is always a stressor. It's just that for the families who come to me, the stress response doesn't seem like it matches the stressor. You want your child to have a robust stress response system, and you want your child to have the ability to respond to danger if danger is happening. You want your child to be able to yell or to holler or to run away or stick up for themselves or stick up for a peer that's having unjust treatment. And it doesn't have to be like physical aggression or a physically aggressive response, right? Like, we want our kids to use their voices to stick up for themselves, to feel empowered, you know, to set a boundary when somebody's crossing their boundaries or crossing the boundary or, you know, kind of not behaving in a way that's in alignment with their values of them or maybe of a friend or a peer or someone else. We want them to have a stress response. We want them to have a watchdog or a possum response, a protective response, right? Stress responses are normal and healthy. And the goal is never to never go into protection mode or to never have a stress response. Going into protection mode is important, healthy, normal. It's how we kind of individuate and develop our sense of self. It's how we mobilize, again, and respond to injustices or things that are happening that we know shouldn't be happening or they violate kind of human rights, right? That's when we go into protection mode. We also go into protection mode and have a stress response when we don't get what we want. If I want something, what's happening is like my body, my nervous system is making like this energetic reach. Like I want to watch a show on TV, right? There's like this energetic movement towards like this thing that I want. But then maybe I can't watch it because my kid has friends over and they're already watching something else and we only have one TV, right? And so I had these plans to watch something on TV, but now I can't. And I'm going to have a stress response to that because not getting what you want is stressful. Now I'm a grown-up with a relatively robust stress response system. And so I have the capacity to like regulate through that stress response. I might have so much capacity that I'm just like, okay, whatever. I'll figure something else out. It could be as simple as that. I could have a stress response that's a little bigger that's like, I really wanted to watch that on the TV as opposed to like pulling out my tablet and watching it on that, right? So having a stress response to a stressor is normal. It's going to happen. We're not trying to take away a stress response. And we have to pay attention and notice, make sure that we're not doing that, right? Like, I'm not asking for my kid to never have a negative response to being asked to do a chore or do his homework or do something he doesn't want to do. Right? He's going to be grumpy. He's going to protest. He's going to say, oh, why do I have to? You know, that's fine. That's fine. He's allowed to have his authentic feeling. We are not trying to get rid of kids' watchdog or possum pathways. It's okay for our kids, for people to have a what's up and maybe even a slight ready for action, watchdog brain response. to stressors like chores and homework or doing anything hard, doing something they don't want to do, having a transition, right? The level of our stress response varies based on so much, varies based on our window of tolerance. Like, it's the end of the school year and, you know, windows of tolerances are depleted. We have less capacity to navigate stress. And it's like the school year is almost done, right? And so the normal stressors of school are feeling really big right now, right? That's normal as like our stress response system shifts and our window of tolerance ebbs and flows. But my point is, it's okay to be grumpy. It's okay to grumble. It's okay to complain. Okay, we are not trying to have kids or partners or selves who never complain or never object, right? We're not trying to create kids who just like always jump to do things joyfully, right? That's not being human, right? And if we did have kids who always were overriding our stress response, their stress response, to act like they had no stress and everything was fine. Everything's fine. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Y'all, that's a different kind of stress response, right? It's a stress response where we kind of override our authentic stress response to present as or to be, you know, to behave in a way that like decreases someone else's stress response. That's what's happening when people are overly compliant. It's still a stress response, right? Having a stress response that surges and then declines is normal. It's good. It's healthy, right? But again, those of you listening have kids with sensitized stress response systems and really vulnerable nervous systems. Their watchdog and possum are overworked and tired. And just like when people are overworked and tired, they make a lot of mistakes and they're grouchy and they struggle to be in relationship. The watchdog and possum, when they're overworked and tired, they make a lot of mistakes. They react to things as if they're huge stressors when they're really not, right? They're extra grouchy. They struggle to be in relationship. This is about being overworked and tired, just like people. We aren't getting rid of the watchdog and possum. We want to support them in taking a rest. We want the watchdog to play. And we want the possum to snuggle. We want our kids to develop the capacity to have sympathetic activation and safety and connection. Right? The watchdog can play. And we want our kids to have that dorsal vagal shutdown, not only as a protective response, but also as a response that happens in connection and in rest, like snuggling, right? We're not trying to get rid of them. We're trying to help them rest more. Why is this important? It's important because we need to approach our kids' watchdog and possum pathways and our own with a nervous system of gratitude, acceptance, and compassion. So if we break the metaphor again, right? Overactive watchdogs, intense sympathetic activation that doesn't match the stressor. Overactive possums, intense dorsal vagal activation that doesn't match the stressor. Overactive watchdogs and possums emerge from a dysregulated, unintegrated nervous system, a nervous system that moves towards either chaotic behavior or rigid behavior. Integrated nervous systems are flexible and adaptive, coherent, energized, stable. That's straight from Dr. Dan Siegel's work, his metaphor of faces. Flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, and stable describes an integrative nervous system. And as nervous systems move towards dysregulation and become disintegrated, they move towards either rigidity or chaos. And if you looked at your kid's watchdog or possum brain behavior, could you label it as rigid or chaotic? Yes, for sure. The pathway to integration, the way we move to integration from rigidity or chaos is bringing owl brain energy or ventral vagal energy to an overactive watchdog or to an overactive possum. Okay. So first what happens is that our kids, their overactive watchdog and their overactive possum, right? Our kids get connection from our owl, right? That's what co-regulation is. We're offering our owl brain to an overactive watchdog or overactive possum pathway. Okay. When I was a therapist, that was my primary job. I offered my own owl, my ventral vagal state, to my clients, whether they were kids or adults. Eventually, and the timeline for this varies, but eventually, the clients that I worked with, they could connect with their own watchdog and possum parts using their own owl brain. They developed the ability to kind of be with themselves. They started to have compassion and acceptance and gratitude towards themselves. And the neurobiological state with which compassion, acceptance, and gratitude emerges from is that ventral vagal state that is the neurobiological state that's required for change. That's why you'll hear me say compassion is the neurobiology of change. It's also true for acceptance and gratitude. Bringing the neurobiology of compassion, acceptance, and gratitude to overactive watchdog and possum parts is exactly how those parts begin to integrate and shift. I know it can feel like, oh my gosh, bringing compassion to watchdog and possum brains is just going to increase them, right? But actually the opposite is true. Okay, bringing compassion, acceptance, and gratitude doesn't grow the watchdog or possum brain. There isn't a sense of like, well, fine, I'll just act this way then because I got compassion. That's not it at all. When an overactive watchdog or possum brain receives compassion, acceptance, and gratitude, that grows the owl brain. It increases the opportunity for integration. It is the neurobiology of compassion and gratitude that strengthens the stress response system so that we move towards having a stress response that seems more in line with the stressor. Now, of course, y'all, I know we don't have owls and watchdogs and possums living in our mind. We don't have animals in our mind, right? And since this is all a metaphor, it might feel kind of weird to have a relationship with these parts of ourselves, right? With this metaphor, where this way we're like anthropomorphizing these parts of ourselves. And I know that that can feel kind of weird, but that has been my biggest blessing of having the bulk of my career being working with kids, because it's not weird to them. They're so much more willing to connect to metaphor and they can show me the path so clearly. And so I kind of see the path as like, it's offered to me by the kids. It's shown to me by the kids. And that reminds me that we can all go down that path. Adults can walk the path of compassion and gratitude to grow their owl brains as well, right? It is actually the very recognition that watchdogs and possums are simply a part of being human. Now, that was sort of ironic to say, right? Watchdogs and possums are animals. But right now, but this metaphor, right? The parts of our nervous system that we call watchdog and possum, which are very real physiological parts of our nervous system, they are simply being human. It is who we are. And even having overactive watchdog and possum pathways is kind of who we are as humans too. I mean, we are vulnerable to developing sensitized stress response systems. And not only are we vulnerable to developing them, but we have great capacity to strengthen them because of being human, right? It's this kind of dichotomy. But being human, you know, allows us to do both. Okay. Not aiming to get rid of the watchdog or possum pathway is a crucial part of this journey. It is so important that we kind of pull in that attitude of compassion and acceptance and gratitude. that energy is crucial because it is the nervous system state of integration. And dysregulation regulates and integrates when it's met by regulation and integration. First, when others meet us, right? If I'm dysregulated and somebody is willing to come to me with their co-regulation, that's kind of the first step towards integration. And then eventually I'm able to be with myself in that way. And it's true for kids too. This isn't just things that grownups can do. Kids can do this too. So everyone has a watchdog and possum pathway. And recognizing that and remembering that and reminding ourselves that we're not trying to get rid of the watchdog and possum pathway is key. We are trying to strengthen the stress response system and give an overactive watchdog and an overactive possum a rest. We are trying to help them see that they don't have to work so hard, that there are other things in place to help keep each other safe, and that the watchdog and the possum pathway doesn't have to be the only part of our kids' stress response that is working. And it's not the only part of them that can keep them safe, right? That they can rest and trust that the owl brain will call on the watchdog or the possum when needed. The watchdog and possum will take over when needed. It doesn't have to be overworked. That's when more mistakes. So my suggestion for you is, as this episode comes to an end, just pause and notice, how did this episode land with you? How did it impact you? What did that feel like? Just notice what it's like to notice everyone, including yourself, has an overactive watchdog and possum pathway. And just notice what it's like to imagine that you're not trying to get rid of your kid's watchdog pathway or possum pathway. Just notice and have no judgment about the response that you have, right? So if you have like a big response, like, oh my gosh, I just want to get rid of it. I don't want any watchdogs, no possums, none. If that's your response, just notice it. We're practicing the noticing. That's the owl brain. Okay. We're just practicing the noticing. Then we can bring compassion and gratitude and acceptance towards ourselves. And then over time, we can really work to strengthen the way that we offer compassion, gratitude, and acceptance to our kids' watchdog and possum pathways too. If it feels like you could use a little more support in doing all of this, remember, I have so many resources available, right? So of course, I have the book that's available in paperback, in audio, in ebook. I have an enormous amount of free resources that are available for download over on my website. So you can head to robingoble.com/free resources. I have coloring pages that you can download as well from the store on my website. Coloring pages do have a small fee associated with it. I think it's $4 for a downloadable PDF of 15 pages. The podcast, of course, keep listening to the Baffling Behavior Show and go back and listen to old episodes, especially if you're new here. And if you could use even more support, consider coming to join us over in the club the next time the club opens up. We open up for new members every 2 or 3 months. So go check out the website. And if we're open now, that'll be really clear. And if we're not open now, you can put yourself on the waiting list and get an email when we are open. All right, y'all. The construction went away. The construction noises went away while I was podcasting. So maybe they're done for the day and they went home. I don't know. I'm glad that they took a little bit of a break. That helped keep my watchdog brain from overreacting while I was podcasting, while I was recording this episode for you. I am going to shut down work for the day and go enjoy the sunshine as spring really comes into bloom here in Michigan. That's a very good way to nourish my own owl brain. I will be with y'all again next week. Bye-bye. Are you ending this episode with maybe a big sigh of relief? Like, yes, finally, someone gets me and my kids. But also maybe a sense of like, okay, but now what? All right, y'all, I've got lots of possible now whats. If you want to connect with me directly, like pick my brain, have access to me almost every day, not to mention hundreds of other parents from around the world who totally get what it's like to be you, then you're going to want to join us in the club. We have monthly live events, including groups for siblings of dysregulated kids, a huge video library with something like 80 or 90 videos, plus transcripts and certificates of completion. Plus, of course, a very active forum that I'm participating in every single day. We open for new members periodically, so go check robingoble.com/the club. If we aren't open now, you can put yourself on the waiting list and I'll let you know the moment we open for new members. That's robingoble.com/the club. Now, if you're a professional and you want to strengthen your capacity to work with the families of kids with big baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, plus use all of my materials, including a 12-module course that follows raising kids with big baffling behaviors, plus be included in an online searchable directory so families all over the world could find you, then you're looking for Being With, which is my year-long immersive training program that runs January through December. So you'll want to go to robingoble.com/beingwith, read all about it, and if you're interested, put yourself on that waiting list too. Now, if you just maybe need a little extra connection and co-regulation, but don't feel like you need to join the club, then you can just keep listening to my podcast, or you could go subscribe to my Start Here podcast, and that'll give you 10 episodes in order that will take you through cultivating a great foundation of parenting with regulation, connection, and felt safety. That's at robingoble.com/start here. You have to go there. You can't just find it in your podcast app. Or you could get yourself a copy of Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, paper book, audio book, ebook. You can get that anywhere books are sold. Or you could just head to my website, download one of my very many free resources. I keep them all really easy to access at robingoble.com/free resources. Webinars, masterclasses, ebooks, infographics, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out. See what of those things could be supportive of you or maybe to the other adults in your life who are helping support you and your child. There are just so many ways that you and I could be more connected, and you can get the amount of co-regulation and support that you need. If it feels like a lot to remember, all you have to do is go to robingoble.com and take your time clicking around, seeing what I got there. I am so, so glad you and I are connected now, and I can't wait to be with you again soon in our next episode of the Baffling Behavior Show. Bye-bye, y'all.